Let's turn, please, to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and we're looking at chapter 3. Remember, we're looking at the pictures in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ, and here in chapter 3 of Genesis, we have, I believe, the first clear picture of our Savior. The verse 15 contains words spoken by the Lord to the devil. After the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, as a result of the devil's temptation, Eve foolishly believed what the devil said and set aside what God had said. Oh, what a sin this is to take as true what the devil says and believe that what God has said is not true. What a sin that is. What a sin that is. And yet, let me tell you, every time you sin, every time I sin, that's what's involved. Disbelieving God and believing the devil. That's what's involved, boys and girls. Well, God here rebukes the devil, tells the devil that as a result of his wickedness, God in his great wisdom has a plan by which the devil will be defeated. Here's the plan. Verse 15, we're reading it together. And I will, this is God going to do something. I will, he says. I will. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. If you belong to the Lord today, if you're one of the Lord's people, then there exists between you and the devil a state of war. That's what the word enmity means. You can see its likeness to enemy. Well, if you're saved today, then you are an enemy of the devil. And you will have an instinct to fight him, to resist him, to look on him as a foe, as an opponent. Because God has put that in your heart. That's part of the new nature that you received when you were born again. Now I belong to Jesus, the old hymn says. And Jesus belongs to me. But also, I don't belong to the devil. I'm not part of his crowd. I'm against the devil as a result of us being born again. Now, before we're born again, we do belong to the devil's crowd. We're called in the scriptures children of the devil. Those who are not saved, children of the devil. The Savior said on one occasion to some of those men who were opposed to him, ye are of your father, the devil. You're not saved. The devil is a father to you. You pay him respect. You obey what he says. You share in his nature. If you're not saved, that's your state. But then when you are saved, when God, by his wonderful grace, works in you so that you are born again, you become a new creature. You become a child of God. And now, the devil's your enemy. God is speaking of this here in this verse. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've spoken of this. The Lord Jesus had a virgin birth. He was the seed of the woman. He hadn't a human father, like the rest of us. But by the miracle of the virgin birth, he was born. He was God manifested or shown, revealed in the flesh. So that person who walked amongst men 2,000 years ago, whom men called the stranger of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, they called him the carpenter's son because having been born of Mary in the home of Joseph, they assumed that he was Joseph's son, but he wasn't. He was virgin born. He didn't have a human father. He was God in the flesh. Men didn't recognize that as they looked upon him. But those who were saved, those who were born again, they recognized that. They realized that. You remember what one of the apostles said? My Lord and my God. He saw who Jesus was. He saw who Jesus was. Now, here in this verse, we have a conflict mentioned, a battle mentioned. See what it says? It, that's the seed, that's the Lord Jesus, shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here's a conflict between the devil and the Lord Jesus, in which the devil will have his head bruised. But in bruising the devil's head, the Savior will bruise his heel. He'll suffer. Let's start off by saying that the work of the devil, which the Lord Jesus has come to fight against, the work of the devil is to turn man against God and to promote rebellion. We have seen that already in his tempting of Eve. He was out to turn her against God and make her a rebel. And he succeeded. And that's what the devil is seeking to do in your life. That's what he's seeking to do in you. I could rhyme off every one of your names, and I could say that's what the devil wants to do in you. He targets you to turn you against God, to make you a rebel against God. That's what the devil's work is all about. Of course, he's so crafty. Many people, particularly young people, end up doing what the devil wants, and they don't realize it. They don't realize it. Listen to what we read about an evil man who didn't look like an evil man, but he was an evil man. His name was Absalom, and he led a rebellion against his father, King David. Listen to what it says. This is in 2 Samuel 15 and the verse 11. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity. And they knew not anything. They went in their innocence, and they knew not anything. They were engaged in a rebellion, and they didn't know it. Absalom, the man they followed, was planning to overthrow David. But they didn't realize it. How many of you today are engaged in actions and words that are part of God's enemies? The action of God's enemies. You're rebelling against God. You don't realize it. You've been deceived. Like these men who followed Absalom, they sailed off, going down the road, not realizing they were part of a rebellion. They thought that what they were doing was all right. It was in order. It was perfectly proper. Is that how it is with you? Doing things, saying things, in the classroom, in the playground, at home, that are part of the devil's rebellion, and you don't realize it. Well, the Lord Jesus came to combat that. You see, when you act like that, you're acting against the Lord Jesus, and he's going to have to act against you. It's an awful thing to have the Lord against you. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have the Lord Jesus as your friend. But if you act in such a fashion as to make him your enemy, then that's a dreadful position to be in. How is it with you today? Are you the friend, or are you the enemy of the Lord Jesus? Oh, look at what you're doing. Look at how you're living. Look at how you're thinking. Examine it and see whether or not you're acting as a friend of Christ or an enemy. Proverbs chapter 14 and the verse 15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." The simple, they believe every word. Oh, everything they hear, they believe. They take it all in. But the prudent or the wise man, he thinks about everything he hears. He examines everything he hears. He doesn't just accept everything he hears, but he looks at it in the light of God's word and says, "Is this right? Am I doing right here? Would I be right in following what I hear?" That's what we need to do. Then again, this verse tells us about the conflicts and the sufferings that the Lord Jesus must endure. If Christ the Good Shepherd was going to rescue his sheep, those who had fallen into sin, those who had been deceived by the devil, if he was going to rescue them, he would have to confront the destroyer of the sheep and suffer as a result of that confrontation. Look at what it says. It, remember, it's always the reference to the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There was suffering ahead for the Lord Jesus. Suffering ahead for the Lord Jesus. The plan of the devil is to destroy the sheep, harm the sheep. David, in the Psalm 23, he reflects how that his life pictured the Savior's life. For he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, he was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. He looked after the flock. And he saw that what he did for the flock, the Lord Jesus did for him. And one of the things the shepherd did for the flock was not only to provide good pasture. He led it to the nice pastures, the green pastures, and the still waters at which the sheep could drink. But he also looked out for the wolf, and the bear, the lion, the wild animals that were to be found in Israel. And he guarded the sheep against them, and oftentimes went out against these animals. David tells us that he fought a bear and he fought a lion in defense of his sheep. As the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, when he came to look after his sheep and rescue them from sin and the devil, he had to confront the devil. He had to confront the devil. The devil has many agents, many who do his work, spread his lies, and they are all intent on harming the sheep of God. Ezekiel the prophet said in chapter 13 and verse 4 of his book, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. That's a pretty clear picture of what the false prophet was like. Foxes in the desert. Well, now, the fox was someone that the shepherd was going to have to watch out for. Oh, how the fox loved to pounce on the lamb and kill the lamb. Fox is a sneaky creature. Knows how to hide and slip about and suddenly pounce upon the unsuspecting lamb. And that's what the false prophets, the false preachers, even today are still doing. They appear as nice, smiling individuals, but all the time what they're saying and what they're teaching is false, and it will harm the people of God. And the Lord Jesus is going to have to combat such. That's why we read in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 8, that's away at the end of the New Testament among the epistles, 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now that's a very wonderful statement, in that it explains just exactly why the Lord Jesus came. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to take a little longer the next time I'm with you, just to explain something very important. It doesn't say here that the Lord Jesus came to destroy the devil. It says he came to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil. You older ones in particular, think a little about that. What exactly the difference is. The Savior was going to combat what the devil was out to accomplish. And that's what he did at Calvary. At Calvary, the devil wasn't destroyed. He's still about today. He wasn't destroyed. But his plan was. His purpose was. His scheme was destroyed at Calvary. That's why you and I, when we're facing the devil, we plead the victory of the cross. Because the devil's defeated. He himself is not destroyed. We're going to look at what will be the end of the devil the next time we come together. But you see, the Lord Jesus came into the world, put his foot on the head of the serpent, and stop it doing what it was doing. Poisoning the people of God. Pushing men and women down to everlasting perdition. Christ came to stop that, and bless God, at the cross he did. There's an answer to your sins, my sins, at the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow together in a wee word of prayer. Dear Lord, we pray that you will bless the words spoken today to the hearts of all the children here. Make them to realize something of the subtleties of the devil. Make them to recognize how they are tempted to defy God and to sin. Make them, Lord, to realize how awful this is, how dreadful this is. And make them instead, by thy grace, to seek thee out, to heed what thou hast to say, and to walk with thee. Bless the school today. Cover it in the victory of the cross, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.